Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online. SunburyMotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up with great technicians, and they can use more. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our high school roundtable. And our guys are all set. If Dave Ritchie sounds a little hoarse, it's because for the first time ever on a Friday night, he was able to talk.
You, sir, are my hero!
That's true. I've done games with Steve Williams before, and you're right. You're right. I did get a lot more of a chance to talk.
You sound a little raspy.
Yeah. Except every time people would text, they said, we didn't think wrestling started until December, all right? Steve does all the wrestling.
Yes, he does, and does a great job with it.
He's a super guy. I don't think there's anything Steve couldn't broadcast, to be honest with you.
He's terrific. Really terrific. God, he'd make a great part. Okay. Well,
I kept calling Kevin to say everything was going to be all right, and Kevin kept in touch with our engineer Ryan to make sure that everything was okay. So I said, you just got to relax. We'll get by, Kevin.
And oh, you seem to, my almighty!
And unfortunately, you do it with relative ease. All right, so... all right, so let me ask you. You guys see this on a week-by-week basis, and everything is relative. It's relative, all right? So I'm not going to sit there and compare, you know, a Steelers-Ravens game to a Penn State-Ohio State game to a Shikellamy game against Central Columbia, all right? Do you feel like you're seeing a good brand of high school football right now as you go through the valley, or is the score disparities too big on a general basis across the board in the valley?
Oh, boy, that's a great question.
That's why I asked it.
That's right. I don't think football as a whole is as good as has been in past years. I don't think... with the exception of Southern Columbia, I'm not seeing a team that we're going to say it. I can say, hey, they're going to play in state semifinals.
Right.
I'm not sure about that. But I'm seeing the interest level in football going up. I'm seeing watching these other schools and taking notice of the number of kids out for football. The numbers aren't bad. The teams that Lewisburg has played this year, so. I don't think it's a lack of interest. I think it might be a lack of talent. And coaching is good as it's ever been in the Valley.
Yeah, no, that part, I completely understand that part. Because I think it is. Because, you know, I hear the names of the guys coaching. I'm thinking, that dude can coach. He can coach. And across the country, since the pandemic, football participation is up 7.4%.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's a real plus. There aren't... many JV games anymore, correct?
Shikellamy is up this year.
Yeah.
I think they've only missed one, and I think Coach Kaiser has made an effort to make sure that he gets the younger kids' games. Steve, again, I'm going to go back to 1969-70. Mm-hmm. I played 9 JV games and also got an opportunity to play on Friday nights. And so I had 19 games under my belt as a sophomore. Yeah. And what a big difference that made as we went to be juniors the next year. And that's something that's been lacking. And these kids, I mean, we could talk about the Phillies being young. Shikellamy's, you know, playing 9, 10 kids that are 14 years old. We were laughing the other night. Coach Kaiser said, I believe the average age of our defense was 14 and a half right. the other night. So these kids are not only playing Friday night, but they're playing Monday. So Shikellamy's been blessed. They've been able to do it. I don't know about Lewisburg, Greg.
Lewisburg has been able to, they had a full JV schedule, but because of circumstances, some games have been canceled. For instance, this week, the game with Loyal Salt was canceled. Loyal Salt canceled the game. Yeah. So they didn't get to play a JV game. But again, like Dave says, they're playing 6, 7 freshmen every game.
Right. You know? I think things look really bright for Shikellamy in the next couple of years just because of the youth that they have. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard, but we lost Luke Snyder, our probably a premier, you know, All-State candidate to an MCL tear. And Mike Elder, the trainer, said that when he went out, he knew right away what was wrong. And he said just by the look on Luke's face. So it's a shame. But again, now we're going to have to have another person with not as much experience fill in both spots there.
Okay, so Shikellamy comes off the loss to Mifflinburg.
Yeah.
And so they're going to be back at it this week, and they have to play Bloomsburg, which is also coming off a loss to Milton. So what are your thoughts, Dave, on that matchup?
Well, this is a game that we basically were penciled in as a one that was, we were probably favored to win this game. Mm-hmm. And without Luke, I'm not sure. But looking at both teams, they both have one win. And it's going to be another dogfight. And I think Bloomsburg has more upperclassmen than Shikellamy. I don't know as far as skill level goes or as far as, you know, football sense, if they're much better. But it's a game that I think our kids are going to go in with feeling positive. Steve, we were inside the 20-yard line, even inside the 10-yard line at Mifflinburg, probably 6 times and came away with nothing. And that gives Mifflinburg's defense, it's a pat on the back for them, but it's very disappointing when your offense, again, plays between the 20s. And you talked about watching quality of football. Shikellamy's effort is top-notch. Their execution at times is not, and it's the turnovers and the mistakes that are made mentally that young kids will make. They've been fun to watch. All right, it's you know, you don't get there and you're trying to think about things to say at the end of the third quarter because things are bad. Right. And I'm sure Greg will agree with me on that too.
Yep, that's positively right. Yep.
All right, so Loyal Sock battles. I mean, Lewisburg battled Loyal Sock before they finally won by 14.
Right.
Now you've got Midwest, which got buried by Warrior One last week, 42-7. Mm-hmm. What's your thought now on this matchup, Greg?
Lewisburg should be favored, heavily favored, to win this game. However, I was at practice last night, and you know what the coaches are concerned about? Lewisburg should be heavily favored. They think the kids have already tucked this game as a win. You know, away this game, and they, after practice was over, that was their big speech. The three coaches talked to the kids after the game. Hey, you got to play this game tough because Midwest has shown the ability that if they block things right, everything works out. They can go for long distances for touchdowns and on drives for touchdowns. It's a mindset, and it's high school athletes. You never know what's going to happen right. on a Friday night in high school.
No, you don't. And here's the issue. Right? My speech will be simple. You're not 7-0, are
That's
you?
That's exactly right. They
no,
said that.
You're not.
They said that last night. You guys have won 2 games. There's no reason to be overconfident.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, you should be looking at this as the opportunity of all opportunities.
And that's what they said. This should look to improve. We come to practice every day to improve. Every game we look to improve. That's what we should be looking for, improvement every day. And that's what they talked about last night with the kids.
So do each of you think through 7 weeks you're looking at better football teams than you saw in week two?
Oh, for sure. I think at Lewisburg. You know, Loyalsock beat us 28-14. Lewisburg turned the ball over three times, one time inside the Loyalsock five-yard line as they were going in for a score to tie the game. And the other two turnovers were both inside Loyalsock territory. And I think it was their best all-around game of the year. They had over 150 yards rushing and well over 100 yards passing in the game. So I thought it was their best game of the year. So I definitely think they're improving.
The Braves are better. They are, and I think that just is the fact that these kids are freshmen and sophomores are basically now you might as well say they're sophomores and juniors. So and Shikellamy plays Bloomsburg, and then next week they have Mount Carmel at home, and they finish up this season with Southern Area. So it's one of those deals where I'm sure that they're going to be chomping at the bits to get a win against Bloomsburg.
Right.
I expect to see good things.
All right. And on the road at Bloomsburg, and Bloomsburg's at home.
No, Bloomsburg's at Midwest.
Oh, they're at Midwest.
Yep,
okay.
They're at Midwest.
Okay.
Yep.
So my WKOK high school scoreboard that says away team listed first is wrong.
That is correct. That is wrong.
Yeah. It's a typo error. Right?
Trying to think who's in charge of that.
Don't. He's had a rough week.
Right?
He's had a rough week.
Yes. He's had a rough 2 weeks. All right. Yeah. So.
It's funny, after working with Steve Williams last week, you didn't say that at all. All right, so that's the best week I've ever had on the air. I feel great. I don't know what that meant. I mean, Greg, I don't know what you meant by that.
I have no clue.
Don't put words in my mouth. Are you reading my thoughts, Steve? I'd say that. All right, so
I feel like I'm Karnak.
All right, yeah.
I can sense happiness.
Okay.
All right. So let's bring in Zach Showers. Can we do that? Yes, we can. Hello, man. How are you? All right.
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good. So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Greg and Dave, and that is, how do you feel about the quality of football you're seeing, and not just from Selins Grove, but from the schedule as well?
If I'm speaking honestly, the past couple of weeks, I think Selins Grove has executed, but I feel like right now in our area, you have a couple teams, Selins Grove, Jersey Shore, Danville, Southern. I hate to name names because then you start to forget.
Right. No,
teams,
I understand.
But I think you're seeing some teams that are on the top that are competing at the state level. And then below that, you're seeing a lot of teams that are, kind of struggling and just really not in the same at really the same level as some of those top teams.
All right, so last week you go out and they get the job done again, 49-14. How much better a product is Selins Grove Seals football today than it was in weeks two or three?
I like to think that they're better. It's a bit difficult to read because the competition hasn't been there the past 4 weeks. Probably the biggest thing last week was the passing game has just really struggled, and they were able to get on the field, and it was definitely an emphasis. With that said, Selins Grove's first team offense only ran 18 plays in the first half, and they scored 7 touchdowns off of those 18 plays. So I know the coaches were hoping to be able to get a little bit more work, but they were able to hit some nice shots. Mark Pastore, who's had an up-and-down year, was really locked in through, in my opinion, probably his 3 or 4 best balls of the season, just some long fades and passes down the sideline, especially to Gavin Bastian, who's been a top target the past couple years. So they continue to get better. Like we've talked about, the lines, there's a lot of depth, and that's something that you can't really take for granted at the high school level. It's oftentimes you can find another wide receiver or running back to put out there, but they're really able to continue to rotate guys in, especially on that line, and keep things fresh.
All right, so now Homer Delatry's team comes in. That is Hollidaysburg. They already have beaten Altoona this year. The fact is they play such a wide-ranging schedule. Allegheny, Fort Hill, Westinghouse, Oil City, Butler. So how difficult is it to get a read on a team that is not from your area?
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge now with the amount of film that's out there on Huddle and things. You know, I can tell you on my end, I think the coaches have film for every single one of their games. So you do have that advantage in 2023 of being able to talk to other teams. But yeah, they're definitely a bit all over the place. I know from talking to the coaches, there's a lot of respect for them. They are a 3-3 team, but their losses were against some pretty good competition.
Yeah.
Two of them being state ranked teams in Maryland. Sometimes it's hard to compare across state lines there, but right. They have some athletes. That was a game last year where Salins Grove was the decided favorite, and it was really a back and forth game where they were eventually able to get the 10-point victory, but that was after three or four lead changes and a lot of big plays and some turnovers on Salins Grove's end.
How is Salins Grove health-wise right now? You get to this late in the season, everybody has bumps and bruises.
Knock on wood, they are, I'll be honest, Steve, when I look at the sideline, I don't know if there's anybody I see right now that's in street clothes. I almost hate to say that, but yeah, they've been able to stay healthy, and especially with especially the last 4 weeks being mercy rule games. I mean, you're looking at starters that have been able to really just play a half and get out of there. So Salins Grove has been very lucky in that aspect, that especially the big guys, the stars, are healthy, and a lot of depth pieces have been able to rotate in.
Yeah, the suit's on. He's on his 400th throat lozenge in a week. It's really
SUIT. That spells suit.
That's our injury report. Between you and me, Zach, I think most of it's a cry for help. my friend, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Steve.
All right, those are the games coming up this weekend on our stations. Dave Ritchie sounded just a bit hoarse. We had done a word count, and up until Friday night, he had only said 312 words the entire season.
Oh, my almighty!
It's what, people ask, what do you make the interns do? That was pretty much it. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
I thought Steve Williams signed a great Friday night, didn't you?
I mean, I was on the air the same time he was, but I'm sure he did.
That's fabulous.
I was over on the TV side of things with our buddy Charlie Fisher.
Yes, I know that. Yes. But you saw the thumbs up coming from the stands.
Hey. I did, as the KO booth was above me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve Williams.
But Chief is right. Steve Williams can do any sport because I do soccer with him a lot. And
he's excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's excellent. Does a great job. Yes, the suit does a great job, too. And I read it exactly the way he wrote it. All right, so. All right. So is there anything else that you are disgusted with right now?
No, I think I rest my case on everything that I presented earlier.
Okay, I'm just checking. You never know. Yeah. You said you had a list of them. I didn't know how extensive the list was.
No, you're right. I did not specify. But I am through now.
Do you feel better?
As always, yes.
Well, what is interesting about what's gone on with the playoffs is what I mentioned earlier. And that is 3 100-plus win teams. Two are out in sweeps. That, by the way, look, the Dodgers are really good. The Orioles are really good. They hit Texas at just the wrong time. The Orioles did. Texas has been a team that has thrived on its offense. But there have been times where the offense has gone into a slump. That's when Texas has had its troubles. Well, unfortunately, the Orioles hit it, as did the Tampa Bay Rays, when the Texas offense hit stride. And as Nathan Eovaldi said, he says, look, that makes life exponentially easier. We changed our approach on the mound after what we did offensively early in the game. And look at what's going on with Arizona. The Dodgers only scored 6 runs in the entire series, 2 in each game. Any team that does that is going to win games. It's amazing. The Astros are the Astros. I know you can't stand them.
And yeah, let's go Rangers.
And the Phillies have been a terrific matchup against the Braves. I mean, the Phillies match up well with them. And not having Charlie Morton pitch the other night did not help Atlanta.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That statement I made about the suit, and I said I read it exactly the way he wrote it. I like to point out most of it was actually misspelled.
Well,
today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties. Warranties to me are more important than ever. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. That's critical to your buying experience. And a terrific service department. And they're looking for more technicians, by the way. They take care of the routine, the difficult. They really are first class. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
At least you know what he was talking about. That's the main thing.
You know, at some point in my career, I had to figure out hieroglyphics, too.
You know, it's funny you mention that because, Lisa, I don't have the greatest handwriting in the world, as I guess you probably know. So, Lisa and I used to send letters to each other when we were dating, and she's like, yeah, I'd have to sometimes use context clues to figure out what I was writing. So, there you go.
Now you have your kids spelling eagles and things like that. I just have a feeling she's not teaching them that.
E-I-G-O-E-S-U-S.
Sounds like he says E-I. And I know he's just a kid, but...
We'll work it on that.
Whew. Good luck with that. Oh, goodness gracious. Tonight on the Coach's Show, Jeff Tambrotti, men's lacrosse coach, just brought Penn State to the Final Four. And James Franklin tonight will be at the field at Taft Trees. Looking forward to that tonight as well as Penn State back in the saddle on Saturday to take on UMass. I will say this about UMass. They have very good offense. Pumachan's a good quarterback. Not mobile. I mean, he's not a great runner, and I know he has a banged-up ankle, so he's a little bit less mobile than normal. Kayron Adams, who goes by Kayron Lynch Adams now, transfer from Rutgers. And at Rutgers, he was, no offense, was just another guy. With UMass, he's been a primetime guy. He has 300-yard rushing games this year. They have great Duosier from Louisville, who's a good receiver out of the backfield, good on kickoff returns. And Anthony Simpson's not a bad wideout. He transferred in from Arizona. So you're talking about a Clemson transfer, a Rutgers transfer, a Louisville transfer, and an Arizona transfer. And they have 47 transfers on this team. And he had 140 receiving yards against Toledo. Defense, which is actually Don Brown's bread and butter, that's where they've struggled this year. I mean, they're in a difficult spot. I mean, they're independent. You know, as is, for example, UConn. There's only one team in the country that can pull off independence in college football, and that's Notre Dame. They're the only ones that can do it. Now, how much longer they can do it, we'll see. But they're really the only ones. There was a point where Penn State was independent, and it worked. There was a point where Florida State was independent. It worked. Right? So others have made it work before. Penn State won national championships as an independent. But long term, it was smart for them to get into the Big Ten long term. And right now, Notre Dame can pull off the independence part of it, but there are going to be some issues down the line what they're going to have to deal with. One of them is, I sense that the Notre Dame fan base is not enamored with playing 5 of their 12 games against ACC teams. I think there's one year it's 4, but almost every other year it's 5. I think it's because of circumstances why it was 4 one year. And, of course, they've had a great run against the ACC. I mean, they'd won 30-something ACC games in a row in the regular season until Louisville snapped it last week. For the moment, they still have their USC game. And they're going to play that one this week. Matt will be glued.
Correct. Unless things start falling apart, then we'll see.
Falling apart what? Kids doing something? Or?
Well, there's that. I'm talking about in the game. But yeah, there's also that possibility.
Oh, I see.
Although it is a night game, so it's just like the first, probably about the first half or so is when I have to worry about that. Then by about late second quarter, halftime, we're smooth sailing after that.
Right. Yeah, I don't... trying to check and see how deep this goes with USC, because it's not USC this weekend. They're at USC next year. 25, they're home with them. 25 is the last year they're on. You realize that? So they have US, I mean, they've played USC for a long time. So USC this year will be Saturday night. They're at USC next year, right, which should be the last weekend of the season. Then they go back to Notre Dame at 25 in South Bend. But that's the last time that USC is on the Notre Dame schedule. In fact, they have gaps in their schedule. I mean, here are the Notre Dame gaps. The gaps include one game in 24 they still have to schedule. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, they still have to schedule one more game in 24 that they don't have. They have to schedule two more games in 25 that they don't have. And then it really gets dicey. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They have to schedule four more games in 27, Matt. Four more in 28, four more in 29, four more in 30. For some reason, the 2031 schedule is in here. But they have gaps in their schedule, including that they have one to fill next year that they don't have. And they have to play, next year they're at Texas A&M. Now this year they still have to play Pitt, at Clemson, Wake Forest, and they're at Stanford. Okay. Now Stanford probably is going to qualify. Well, Stanford's off the schedule too. I wonder if that's because of the ACC thing. But Stanford's on next year. So their ACC games are will be Georgia Tech, Florida State, Virginia, Miami. And I think Stanford qualifies as one. 25, their ACC games are NC State, Syracuse, Boston College, Miami, Pitt. In 27, their ACC games are Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Clemson, Duke, Wake Forest. In 28, their ACC games are Virginia Tech, Boston College, Clemson, Miami, and Pitt. In 29, it's NC State, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, Syracuse. In 30, it is Louisville, Duke, Florida State, North Carolina, and Boston College. They have a home and away with Texas A&M next year in 25, so they go to Kyle Field next year. They have a four-game series with Purdue they're going to play starting next year. The Stanford thing stops next year. The USC thing stops in 25. They have a home and away with Arkansas. They also have, what's interesting is they've got Michigan State on here. But I don't see the return to South Bend for Michigan State. It's at Michigan State, but that's it. Interesting. I'm sure that's one of the games that they need to schedule somewhere in here. And even Michigan State's listed as a TBD. It's not easy scheduling as an independent. And if you're losing USC off the schedule, which they are after next year, or excuse me, after 25, so there's like three more games left, including Saturday. That's a big loss on the Notre Dame schedule. That's a big loss. Stanford's no loss. I mean, they're going to be in the ACC anyway, so now they can start playing games with Cal, Stanford, and so forth. They can still play those games. But that's the USC thing, which is traditional. It's been there. Has had a lot of tremendous games over the years. You know, one of those traditional deals that goes back. Okay? So here's the USC-Notre Dame rivalry. First time they ever played each other was December 4th, 1926 at the L.A. Coliseum. Notre Dame won it 13-12. And the wives of Newt Rockne and Gwen Wilson, who was the USC athletic director at the time, actually the ones that say, hey, how about now, maybe we play, we should play each other. Okay. And also the fact that Newt Rockne and Howard Jones had conversations. Rockne almost took over the USC football program. I don't know if you know that.
I did not know that.
It's a little bit warmer. great. So they have now played. Jeez. This is going to be the 94th meeting between the two. How about that? 94th meeting between the two. And guess who's had the better of it of late? Now, over the years, Notre Dame's had the better of it. 48-37-5. Now, a lot of those wins are early. All right, so Notre Dame, 1940 to 1949, won every game except for a tie. Notre Dame from 51 to 54, won. Notre Dame from 57 to 61, won. Now, then John McKay got there. It's like, okay, things got a little dicey. USC from 67 until, oh, boy, from 67 to 82. This is a bad stretch for Notre Dame in this series. From 67 to 82, Notre Dame won twice with two ties. All the rest, USC. 12 wins, two losses, and two ties. Then Notre Dame dominated. And believe it or not, okay? I mean, part of it was Jerry Faust before. Although, did I ever tell you the story about Jerry Faust at USC?
This is what I don't think.
All right. I know you haven't been to the Coliseum. I've been to the Coliseum. I've worked a game in the Coliseum. All right. The two locker rooms are right next to each other. I mean, like, right next to each other. You know that big tunnel you see them run out in the corner of the end zone?
Right.
Okay. Well, both teams have to go through the same one because the two locker rooms are side by side. So Jerry Faust gets up, and he's yelling, and tradition, and Notre Dame tradition, and blah, 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 and, you know, the Four Horsemen, and Newt Rockne tradition. He says, Heisman Trophy winners, tradition. Well, you're going on and on and on, right? Notre Dame tradition. Hey, let's go. Charging out of the locker room. John Robinson, who had one of the best sense of humors ever. John Robinson, his team just sat there and listened to it. He says, all right. He says, here's the part of the tradition that he didn't talk about. They never win here. Let's go kill them. That's all he said. They never win here. And USC won the game. Here's the part of the tradition he didn't mention. They never win here.
Oh, my almighty!
Your guy Brian Kelly did pretty well against him. I know you hate him.
Shockingly, but at the same time, those were not the best USC teams.
Now they go at Lincoln Riley. You have Marcus Freeman.
Yeah, I don't feel good. That loss to Louisville Saturday pretty much ended any sort of hope for even a New Year's Six Bowl at this point. Because I think you're looking at least a three-loss season now. I thought at the very worst it'd be two. I still thought that would be an 11-1 team, but no. I don't see them winning this game Saturday.
We'll mark that down for you as a loss. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Four national titles. Always had the one-liners. Following a 51-0 loss to Notre Dame in 1966, I told my team it doesn't matter. There are 750 million people in China who don't even know this game is played. The next day, though, a guy called me from China and asked what happened, Coach.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
That is fantastic.
He says, when you come home after a defeat, he says Duffy Doherty, Michigan State coach, always had a dog because he said when you come home after a defeat, the dog will be your friend. My wife had a dog. We got beat once by Notre Dame 51-0. I came home, it bit me. He was asked one time following a game where Anthony Davis carried the ball over 30 times. They said, why did he carry the ball so often? McKay said, why are you giving the ball to Davis so often? He replied, why not? It's not heavy and he doesn't belong to a union. Here's one of my favorites. After receiving harsh criticism from the media about McKay's coaching skills in the NFL, McKay replied, quote, you guys don't know the difference between a football and a bunch of bananas. Well, the next week he comes in to do the press conference, and there are bananas all over the table. He says, I really screwed up. I should have told you guys don't know the difference between a football and a Mercedes-Benz. Always one of my favorites. During a team meeting, McKay told his players that the games are won and lost in the trenches. He then spotted Howard Fest sleeping in the back. McKay yelled, Fest! Fest! Where are the games won and lost? And Fest replied, right here with the Buccaneers coach. Asked about his team's offensive execution, McKay said, quote, I'm in favor of it. See, your coaches aren't funny.
The closest to it probably would be Sirianni. So overall, no, you're right.
I mean, just not funny. I mean, Aaron Boone, I mean, after he's done, I mean, and usually Boone has time to be funny because he's usually out of the game by the sixth inning.